How many of you realize we've been in this series on igniting your life? This is not like, a sermon series, I'll do it for this amount of time. This is our life's calling. This is what Jesus called us to do, to go into all the world and hide the gospel from everybody. No. How many of you remember the little song, Hide It Under a Bushel?
No.
Yeah, see, you guys are good. Y'all been to kids' church, so I know that. Listen, God is doing great things, and I'm just so excited about that. Next week, we are wrapping this series up, but I want to encourage you, keep sharing your faith, because every seed that is sown has the potential to grow up 30, 60, 100-fold. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're getting into today. I'm like, am I at the beginning of my sermon? There we go. I got to back it up from first service, so love the iPads, just a little zip right there. I'm going to be talking a little bit about our faith today, actually a lot about our faith. And you know, people have a misunderstanding of faith. Anybody ever kind of struggle, what in the world is faith? What exactly? And a lot of people say, oh, faith is just to believe. Well, if faith was just simply to believe, how many of you know that probably 70-80+% of Americans would be going to heaven? If all it is belief, right? Because people say all the time, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. But faith and belief are, I mean, let me say, belief is a part of faith, but it's only a part. It's only a fraction of what it actually is. But here's the thing, our faith has to keep growing. If we're going to be good at sharing our faith, or really just simply getting through life victoriously, then we have to have a growing faith. Amen? Because the thing that some people have this idea, faith is not static. It's not like this plant, a fake plant, we don't have any in here, that you just set it, you don't got to water, it just stays the same. The reality of your faith, it is living. Your faith is either growing or it's dying. Those are the only two options right there. So if you don't grow your faith, and God wants our faith to grow, so the title of this is Work It Out. Because we got to work things out sometimes, don't we? Part of igniting your life, your faith, is that you got to work it out. Like those of you with kids, or when your kids were little, how many of you guys remember when they were arguing and you just wanted to send them to the other room? And you're like, hey, just go in there and work it out. Anybody ever do that? Just go work. I mean, part of the reason is because you're just too tired to deal with it, number one. Or you realize our kids have to actually learn to work it out. Right? We can't solve everything for our kids. Like, if our kids never learn to work it out and they become adults and they're like 25, 30 years old and they're like, you know, my boss isn't calling mom and dad. My boss is being mean. Can you come talk to him for me? How many of you know? It's like, no, you know what? You got to work that out. And so we've got to teach them from a young age how to work some of these things out. And I believe that as mom and dad, if we don't work things out, do you realize that inadvertently we're teaching our kids you don't have to work it out either? Yeah. And it's like, well, we just get in an argument and that's it. And it never gets worked out. That's not a good thing. And let me just say this. Working things out is not throwing punches. Come on. Y'all didn't even sound very excited about that. How many of you, when you were in like junior high school, to work it out? I mean, as a guy, it was like, all right, come on, let's go work this thing out. Can I tell you, if you're 30, 40, 50 years old and that's still how you work things out, come on, let's just go work this out like men. And it's like, no, that's working it out like a child, right? We've got to be mature in how we work things out. And so one thing, if we don't learn that, if we don't develop that skill set, then we're going to live life with severed friendships left and right. Right? Oh, well, you know what? We were friends, but, you know, they looked at me cross-eyed. So we're not friends anymore. So, you know, you don't work it out. So here's the fill-in in your notes. It's easier to cut off a relationship than it is to work it out. Because how many of you realize to work it out means there might have to be a little bit of humility. Right? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look weak. But when it comes to your faith, I want you to realize there's a parallel there. It's easier to give up on your faith than it is to work it out. Like when things don't work out the way you think God should work it out in your life, there's a lot of people that don't serve God anymore. They don't go to church anymore. They don't have a relationship anymore because God didn't do what he thought. They didn't work their faith out. It is a process that you, and let me tell you, it's healthy to work it out, to learn that. And let's be honest, a lot of people, they don't have the skill set to do it in a healthy way. They just don't. And like I said, in church, brothers and sisters that will go week after week with contention, and it's like, there's that sucker, you know, right over there, and they don't want to deal with it. And that's why there's church splits, because we don't learn how to do it. Let me just say, in this series on igniting your life, I want you to understand, God allows seasons and times in your life that you will have to work your faith out in order to grow your faith. That's the only way it works. There are times in your life that we just need to grow. Let me give you what you understand about God. God is not linear in time. We realize that. He's outside of time. And so, yeah. And so here's the thing. God saw your date of birth and your date of death at the same time. And everything in between it. All of the hills, all of the valleys, all of the difficult things. He saw all the challenges that you and I have already, or that we have faced, but that we will face. And you know what God does? He doesn't like, oh man, there's a speed bump coming up in their life. I sure hope they get over that. Does God do that? No, he sees the season coming, and he's like, the prior season, he's like, I've got to build something in their life before they hit that. That way, when they're there, they're going to be able to make it over. Amen? But let me just say, it takes cooperation. God doesn't just like, you know, little Tinkerbell, and boom, you got amazing faith. No, there is a process that goes on. Most of us have been in situations where we just don't know what to do. God, I've hit this crossroad. I don't know which way to go. How many of you have been there? Maybe you're there right now, right? And you're just like, God, I don't have the answer. I don't, doesn't matter. And money doesn't help either. You're like, well, if I just had enough money to overcome it. No, it's a situation that doesn't matter how many connections you have, doesn't matter how much money, doesn't even matter how much scripture you know. You're like, I don't know what to do. And so you're at that situation. Let me just say this. God is in the business of growing faith. Amen. That's what he does. I think most of us know this by now. Faith doesn't grow in comfortable places. Right. Right? When things are, as a matter of fact, the faith grows best in uncomfortable and, let me just say, sometimes painful places in our life. That's how it does it. And listen, where you don't know what God's doing, God, I don't understand it. Let me show you something about faith in Romans 12, verse 3. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, and I'm saying to every one of you, those that are watching online, I'm saying it too. He says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God is giving you. So if people say, I don't have any faith, and it's like, no, no, you've got faith. You've got a measure of faith. As a matter of fact, that word measure there, the Greek word is metron, which is actually where we get the word meter. It comes from that. It's an actual measurement in length or volume. So you could look like this and read the scripture in accordance with the meter of God, measure that God has given us. Whether it's liquid, maybe you got liquid faith, maybe you got length faith. I don't know. God knows what we need. But that's what we need. And he knows that we have that. We've got it. But how many of you know God wants to grow that? Amen. It's got to get bigger. You start out small with a little bit, but God, look how he grows us. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, anybody have some trouble that has come your way? Instead of going down and singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me. No, I'm just kidding. Comes your way. Look what he tells you to do. Don't sing a misery song. Look at it as an opportunity. When was the last time that you had a bad circumstance and you're like, hot dog, here comes an opportunity. What does he say? An opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Amen. Here's what God wants to do. When trouble comes your way, your faith is being tested. So when you're on the other side, now your faith is looking like this. Amen? Amen? God has grown your faith. And listen, that's an exciting time once you get to the other side. And the reason it can be an opportunity for great joy is because, God, this situation is not good. I don't like it. It's not fun. But I know on the other side, if I cooperate with you, my little faith is going to become bigger faith. Amen. Amen? That's what God is wanting to do in our life. And we have to realize that. Listen, we've all been there. Like I said, maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're at a place where I don't see where God's at. I don't feel God in this situation. And I think our assumption is this. If God is good, life should be easy. Wouldn't that be great? If that were true, then how many of you know there wouldn't be an empty seat in any church anywhere? It's like, oh, so that's the easy life. All I got to do is serve God. Here's the reality. God is still good, but life is not easy. It's not easy. And look at, we have this promise from God, for we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So when I'm living my life according to God's purpose, then how many of you know what God can do is that he's cooking something up in your life. You realize that that's good. Like he takes the pain you're going through and the blessings that you get. He takes the mountaintops and the valleys, and he's working it, mixing it all together. And then like, boom, out comes something good. Like when you're making a cake and you add flour, does anybody just eat flour by itself? No. I mean, you might eat sugar by itself, but it's like God takes all of that stuff, mixes it, and you got something amazing. That's what he does. Listen, God knows how to leverage those painful moments of your life. But we have got to, everybody say cooperate. I got to cooperate with God. Like I said, it's on us. Like when you face a troubling, a difficult situation, we can either back up, we can get bitter, we can get angry and cry out, oh God, where are you? Or we can learn to lean in and say, God, I'm not liking this situation that I'm in, but I know that you're going to do something good out of it. Amen. How many of you know that's faith? That's how God develops our faith. So what is faith? Classic verse that most people turn to, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. So here's the thing. Everybody say evidence.
Evidence.
Right, so here's what faith is not. Faith is not a feeling, right? Like you know, oh, I just feel it right now. I feel the Spirit, so I got great faith. No, it's not a feeling, because if faith were a feeling, then when you walked out and somebody did something you didn't like, you wouldn't get upset all of a sudden, right? You wouldn't allow the flesh to come and take over. So it's not a feeling. Faith is not an emotion, although you might feel an emotion. God, we are emotional people. And so there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not my faith. Here's what it is. Faith is evidence. Tangible, visible, observable stuff. You can see faith. What does James say in the book of James? He goes, you show me your faith by what you say, but I'll show you my faith by what I do. My life is going to be a demonstration of the faith that I have. So if somebody says, I have faith, but you look at them and they're living like the world, can I tell you that there's no evidence? Right? I know my wife had in one of her old Bibles, if you were in a court of law, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian?
Yes.
You got to think about that. I may not have said it exactly right, but let me tell you, I'm not a lawyer, but I know that in the court of law, how many of you know there has to be an evidence to convict somebody? Right? Like if you brought your neighbor in there and you know your neighbor doesn't like you and you're like, listen, this is my neighbor and they haven't killed me or anything, but I know they want to. I can just feel it. I feel the hate, right? They want to kill me. Are they going to get convicted of murder? No, there's no evidence, right? And so in the kingdom of God, in order to have faith, there's got to be evidence of it. And a practical example of that is that every one of you guys demonstrated faith today when you came and sat down on that chair.
Praise God.
Right? Like, did anybody turn around and like, well, it looks like a sturdy chair. Looks like it might hold me. Let me test it out a little bit. All right? Let me make sure that it's going to hold me up. No, you just knew that you had faith that we bought decent chairs enough that you could sit down in it and it's going to hold you up. Yeah. All right? You demonstrated faith. It's like I said, it's not a feeling. It is tangible. And we demonstrate it. Our acts demonstrate that. Let me just say this. Well, what did Jesus say? We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, like, no matter, even if things look around us, look scary, maybe you're in a situation where there's a lot of fear. Maybe you got a call from the doctor and it's like fear wants to rise up in you, but then you realize, oh, wait a minute. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I can walk through this situation without fear, even though the circumstance hasn't changed. And let me tell you, when you do that, that's the evidence of your faith. The fact that you can have joy and peace in the midst of a heavy trial, that shows the world, because people around you, maybe your job or whatever, you've gotten some diagnosis and you're walking in there, you've got the joy of the Lord on you, you got peace, and they're like looking at you like, why aren't you freaking out? Right? Why aren't you running around like Chicken Little, like the sky is falling? And you can say, you know what? I know who holds the sky up. And so I don't have to worry about that. God's got me. Whatever my future holds, I know God is with me. Amen. And he's going to take it. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, he's going to work it out for his good and for my good. So that's faith right there. Let me just say that how many of you know tithing is a step of faith? All right? You can believe in it. But let me tell you, tithing is contrary to what the world says. Doesn't make sense. Like, why would you tithe? Why would you give 10% when you're barely making it as it is? And it's like, yeah, you're right. That doesn't make any sense. I went to my financial counselor and he said, stop doing that. I remember when I was in the military stationed in Hawaii, and that I had a sergeant over me that just ragged me about my faith. And he kind of just like snarky looked at me. He knew that we were struggling. And he goes, yeah, I bet you give money to that church too, don't you? And I was like, yes, by faith. And God provided through that. And it was like, I got mocked for it. But it's like when you do it, and probably a lot of you guys have, you realize, wait a minute, the scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much of a blessing you will not have room. All right, Lord, I'm doing it by faith. How many of you know sometimes your faith is like, okay, God, I'm doing it a little bit scared faith. But you do it. You're doing it out of faith. God blesses that. That is the evidence of your faith. So God wants it to grow. He wants there to be more. He doesn't want you to live your life with this amount of faith. How many of you know he wants it to grow? Amen. God's got greater plans for you and I, but he's like, okay, I got to stretch your faith. You're not going to be able to accomplish the things that I've called you to do with this faith. So he wants it to grow. So I want to talk about a lady in the Bible, Hannah, out of the book of 1 Samuel, and how her faith really kind of helped us begin to see things. Because how many of you know the way we look at life and the way we look at situations in our life, if we don't see it through the right perspective, then we get the wrong view, don't we? If you don't have the right perspective, and especially for those of you that have glasses, how many of you know, and mine are a little bit dirty here, when they get too dirty, you start seeing things that aren't there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, what is that? Oh, man, that's something on my glasses. I got to clean those things. And what am I saying that? If you don't have the right perspective, I put it in your notes like this. If the lens of your life are foggy, your whole life is going to be foggy. If you've got the wrong perspective, you're never going to see things clearly. And it's not like, well, this is what I see. This is what I perceive to be true. I've got to allow God to give me the right vision. So when difficulties come, let's just look at the story of Hannah out of 1 Samuel, starting at chapter 1. He says he had two wives. We're not dealing with that issue right now, so we're just moving on. I thank God for one wife. How many of you? Come on, men. One's enough. That's all I can handle. So, and I'm working on that still. So anyway. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship, sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. We're going to talk about that later, so just kind of log that in your mind. The Lord closed her womb, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Listen, she was not happy about the sister wife thing going on either. Right, I'm the better wife. You can't even have kids. And so look what it happens. This went on year after year. How many of you know you can deal with things for a short time? But when it's been going on year after year, it says whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. How many of you know that's a place of misery? Anybody that had been so low you couldn't even eat? Like food, I don't even want anything. I mean, she's weeping, she can't even eat, she can't have a child, her sister or other, I don't even know what you would call it, thing is irritating and provoking her on purpose. Like, how many of you have found yourself in places like that? Yeah, and the only option is to turn to the Lord. Kind of like, you know what, well, I've tried everything else, I might as well try God. Right? How many of you know he shouldn't be your last option? Right? He shouldn't be. But sometimes that's where we're at. And what happens in our life when these difficulties happen, there are situations that we would call either gaps or deficits in our life from where we are to where we really want to be. Right? In our life, it's like, this is my life right now, and I have no idea how to get over this gap. I have no idea. Like, maybe your marriage is not where you think it should be, and so you've got this gap between where you are, and it's like, Lord, I don't know how to get to the other side. Maybe it's a marriage or children or whatever, and you're just struggling with it. So here's the first feeling in your notes. The deficit, it's faith's opportunity. The gaps you have in your life is an opportunity. Remember what the scripture said. Whenever troubles come into your life, consider it an opportunity. And so, okay, God, here's a situation, I can't fix it. Whether it's a physical condition, whether there's relationship issues, whether you have a business and it's struggling, whether you're trying to overcome an addiction in your life, those are gaps. It's like, listen, I want freedom, but I'm stuck here. How do I get over there, God? How do I get to that other side? So we all have the gaps where we're at. And let me just say, when you're in that gap, that's when you have a choice. You have a choice. Number one, either God is doing something to me. God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you beating me up, Lord? Why are you dragging me through the dirt? Or we can say, okay, God, here's an opportunity. You must be wanting to do something in my life, God, because I'm going through this. I'm in this situation. Like I said, the gap in your life, God's not trying to beat you down. Amen? He's not like, you know, some people will like, oh no, what did I do wrong? Well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And that's just the enemy throwing condemnation at you. That's not what's happening there. God is wanting to do something through you. And let me just say this, God doesn't send bad things into our life. We understand that, right? Like we do a pretty good job bringing our own bad situations about, amen? Or just living in a fallen world. Bad things are gonna happen. And God takes that. If you will allow God, he will use that gap in your life to grow your faith from this to this. Amen? If we will work with him. And listen, maybe we shouldn't waste those painful moments in our life. I've heard somebody say, listen, I'm not wasting this pain. I'm going to use it for my benefit. And instead of saying, God, you must be mad at me and get bitter and angry, instead say, no, you know what? If the enemy is messing with me like this, guess what? He's going to lose. Yes. Because when I get to the other side of this, my faith is going to be stronger. My love for God's going to be bigger. My relationship's going to be closer than it ever. And the enemy will regret that he ever messed with me in the first place. Amen. That's a different attitude right there. Like I said, you know the moment you call the doctor and he's like, well, I need you to come in because we have to have a conversation. What immediately comes up in your head? Fear, because that's usually not a good thing. He's not going to come in, oh, I just want you to know that somebody left $1 million check for you. Yeah. How many of you know that's not going to happen, right? And so fear can come up, or we have a choice to say, wait a minute, God, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to allow faith to begin to rise up and begin to speak God's word over my life. In those times, and I know that many of you guys have gone through some very difficult times, but isn't that where you learn to pray in a way that you never prayed before? Isn't that true? Isn't that when you learn to lean into God in a way that you never leaned into him before? And it's like, wow, God, like you developed a special kind of faith that would not have been developed any other way. And so you don't run from those things, you lean into it. And let me just say this, because you lean into those times and God grows your faith, how many of you know you're able to pray for other people in a way you never were able to pray for them? Amen? Amen? Like if God has not been there for you and somebody comes up with some kind of crisis thing, you can't be like, oh man, whoo, I don't know what you're going to do. That's rough. Good luck with that, right? How many of you know that's not a good prayer? We don't have people pray for people that way. But when God has delivered you, how many of you know it's easier to pray for deliverance for other people? When God has healed you, it's like, okay, I can believe healing for other people. And so God is doing something. It's easier to tell your testimony to other people when you actually got a testimony. All right, how many of you know testimony? It starts with a test. And when you go through it and you meet somebody else and they're going through it, and you're going to be like, let me tell you what God did in my life. Right. And we're going to be talking about that next week, what to do with your testimony, how to share your testimony. So I hope you don't miss it, but it becomes very powerful. So listen, don't waste those moments. Here's what I believe to be true. God answers our prayer within a prayer. What do I mean by that? We say a prayer, but God knows the deeper issues that are going on. You may not have prayed it, but because you did the one prayer, like you say, oh God, I want you to use me. Anybody ever ask God to use you? Come on, let me see some hands here. God, I want you to use me. God, I just want you to do something amazing in my life. I really want to draw closer to you this year. Let me just say, be careful. Because to be used and grow in Christ means that God's going to have to get some of the nasty stuff out. Isn't that true? And so we pray, God, use me. And God says, okay. But in order to do that, I need to go in. Some things need to go, and some things need to grow. And it's like, so God's working on you. God's stretching you from this to this, and you're feeling stretched a few weeks, and you're like, oh God, please remove this struggle in my life. Remember what you prayed? And God's saying, you know what, just 2 Sundays ago, didn't you ask me to use you? Are you getting schizophrenic now? What's going on, right? And then we're like, oh, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And God's like, no, 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 I'm doing something in your life. I'm doing something in your life. This is what you want. You want it to be used. You want to draw. So God does that work in us. Amen? All right, let's move on with the story of Hannah. 1 Samuel, starting at verse 12. She kept on praying, so she's there. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but look, her lips were moving, but there was no voice. Some of you guys know what that kind of prayer is like, too. You can't even voice it. It's like maybe your mouth is moving, and it's like, and you don't really even have the words. How many of you are like, the scripture is teaching how low she was. How in depth she was, and Eli thought she was drunk. And it's like, maybe if somebody saw you doing that, they think you're drunk too. But look what, and he said to her, how long are you going to keep getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. And he says, and she says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here for out of great anguish and grief. And I love this answer. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away, ate something, and check it out. Her face was no longer downcast. How did everything change like that? She hung on to that word, right? So here's the second thing. If faith is the if deficit is faith's opportunity, God's word is faith's foundation. Amen. Amen. What do you mean by that? Like once Hannah got a word from the prophet, there's something that changed on the inside of her. Something like she's no longer crying. She's no longer downcast, and now she's hungry. All right? She's like, I got to eat something now. Listen, when you are so overwhelmed, food is the last thing you want to put in your body. So when Hannah got a word, things changed. She got, and I don't know, how many of you know when people say, I got a word, God gave me a word. How many of you know that's a little churchy sounding if you've never heard that before? If you haven't been in church, I would have been like, you know, what are you talking about? Like Wheel of Fortune, I need a word, you know? Or what does that even mean to get a word from God? Well, let me just take a moment and explain it, because in the Greek, there are actually two words for word, logos, which means it's any spoken or written word. Jesus is the logos of God. He's the word of God. If you got your Bible, or maybe you got your Bible on your phone, that's the logo. So anything that may be written, Jesus is that. And however, the other word is rhema word. And it's a specific, personally applied word from God, where God takes his logos word and he makes it begin to penetrate your heart to where you're like, oh, wow. Like, how many of you have read the Bible before? Maybe you read a passage 100 times, and then you read it the 101st time, and all of a sudden there's like God highlighted something, and it penetrated your heart, and you're like, how did I never see that before? That's the rhema word of God that God is doing. Listen, I can preach a message, and 100 people hear different things. And it's like, I'm not that good to do that. I just want you to know that. That's the Holy Spirit that takes our... I've had people come up to me before, and they're like, oh man, when you said this, that, and the other thing, man, God really used that to speak my heart. And I'm sitting there kind of scratching my head. I'm like, did I say that? I don't think I said that. I think God took something I said, and he put it in your ear and into your heart. That's a rhema word right there. I think that's why Paul says the foolishness of preaching. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to get up here, God. I'm going to do whatever I can do, but I depend on the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Amen? So let me tell you, if you get anything from anybody, know that that's the Holy Spirit bringing that in. Amen? So Hannah got a rhema word from the prophet. He said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked. And immediately, like I said, she was changed. Why was she changed? And it's because she came into agreement with that word. What did she say? She goes, may your servant find favor in your eyes. She came into agreement with what the prophet said. She didn't come back with, oh, but you know what? I've never been able to have a baby. You know, that's a great idea, prophet of God, but I don't think it's going to happen because my doctor said this and my whatever. How many of you know she didn't argue with that? She came into agreement. And here's in your notes, for your faith to come alive and grow, you have to come into agreement with the word of God. Amen? You got to cut. Listen, we agree with a lot of things, but how many of you know a lot of times those agreements are not the word? All right? Sometimes we agree with the lies of the enemy. Anybody ever have the enemy lie to you? Oh, you're no good. You're going to fail again. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. That's the lie of the enemy. Quit agreeing with that. Right? Maybe lies that people have spoken over you. You're not going to turn out to be anything. You're this, and you know, you're a loser, whatever. Don't agree with that. Even coming into agreement with medical diagnosis. And let me just say, even if it's an accurate medical diagnosis, how many of you know you can still agree with the word that God is my healer that heals all my diseases? I want to agree with that. That may be, that's the gap, right? That may be where I am, but this is what I'm believing for. So you got to come into agreement with that and allow God to begin to change you. You have to shift your faith, come into agreement with the word of God, with that rhema word. And let me tell you, it was that word that changed Hannah in a second. I tried this on the first service. Let's see. I can't snap my fingers, but who can snap them good? All right, just like that, right? That was louder than the first service. So that's how quick God can change you. God can change the inside. Like I said, she was eating. She was no longer downcast. When you come into agreement with the word of God, you know what that's doing? Your foundation is now in the word of God. Now, your foundation is not based on how you feel. Well, I'm not feeling it today. It doesn't matter how you feel. That's not your foundation. Well, you know what? This is what culture says. You know what? I don't know. Let me tell you, culture is rapidly changing. I'm going to stand on the word of God. You guys, I'm going to give you just two. There were so many. I had to whittle it down. But 1 Peter 1:24, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains how often? Forever. So don't worry about what culture says. Don't worry about what people say. Anchor and foundation in the word. Isaiah 55:11. So it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. Amen? When you get a word from God, can I tell you that God is not just trying to give you a cute feeling? Ooh, I got a word from God. Ooh, gave me goosebumps. I mean, you may get that, but let me tell you, when you get a word from God, it is God informing you of something that is going to happen. Maybe next week, maybe a month from now, maybe I don't know when, but you can take it to the bank that if you get a word from God, I'm hanging on to God's word. Amen? That is what anchors you in your faith. And I think so many believers, sometimes they're disappointed with life and because they've anchored their faith in others or what somebody else said rather than what God's word says. And so our faith has got to be anchored to the word of God. It never fails. How many of you believe that? It doesn't fail. That's what Hannah did. She got a word. It changed her. Like I said, she got up, no longer crying, no longer downcast. She's ready to eat. And here's the thing that we need to understand. When she got up, how many of you know she wasn't pregnant? Yeah, so it's not like, ooh, I felt the baby kick. Like from nothing. No, she didn't even have the answer to her. She didn't have the answer yet. But let me tell you, she was pregnant with the word of God at that moment. Yes. She was pregnant. And so Hannah's worship, it was based on the word. It wasn't based on the pregnancy. All right, it wasn't based on the answer to her prayer. Can I tell you, that's what faith is. Faith is being able to worship even when your circumstances haven't changed. Amen? Amen? But based of what God says. And listen, like I said, you may have a lot of fears, but again, what are we saying? Wait, I don't have to have fear. I don't have to be afraid. God is with me. The doctor may say it was cancer, but I serve a God that heals all my diseases. Listen, we can come in with all kinds of baggage and stuff, whatever it is. But when you say, you know what, I trust in God, I'm trusting Him, then it changes your perspective. And people are like wondering, what is going on with you? So that what happened to Hannah goes on. She goes home. She eventually gets pregnant, has a baby. She doesn't come to the temple the next year, but later the second year, she weans Samuel, goes into the temple the following year. And then in verse 26, you know, Eli's talking to her, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for." That's exactly what he said would happen, right? But then look at verse 28. "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord right there. So number three, first of all, the deficit, it's an opportunity. God's word is my foundation. But the sacrifice is faith's test. And what do I mean by that? Because the test of Hannah's faith wasn't that she could believe for a child. Like, oh, I believe. That wasn't the test. The test was that once she prayed and God gave her that child, could she take what God had given her and keep her hands open to the Lord? Could I still keep my hands to the Lord? Because we need to remember, here's how God works. You came into this life with nothing in your hand, right? No money, no bank account, none of that stuff. And anything that we do have in our hand right now, do you realize God put that right there? Right. Amen. Amen? The relationships, my family, my, you know, my bank account, whether it's got $2 in it or $200,000 in it, or let me go big, $2 million in it, right? Whatever it is, God put it there. And what I believe to be true is that we can stunt our growth in faith when we're unwilling to give the blessings of God back to Him. So that we can receive in greater. But how many of you know that's how God works? If you're faithful in the small things, what does He say? I'm going to put you in charge of bigger things. But here's what happens to a lot of people. We're like, oh God, I need this. Can you give me that? And we grab hold of it. God blesses us. And then we close our hands. Ah, my blessing. I got my blessing. I'm putting my blessing in my pocket, in the bank, and I'm not sharing with nobody. I prayed hard for this blessing. Listen, I want to tell you, God can't bless clenched fist. He only blesses open hands. That's it. And that's the challenge. Amen. Hannah having Samuel, Amen. Do you realize it wasn't just about Hannah having a baby? That wasn't it. It was about God blessing a nation. He rose Samuel up to be a prophet, the one that would eventually anoint King David, the one that eventually the Messiah, Jesus, would come through, who would eventually die on the cross for our sin, raised to new life. Isn't that weird how those domino effects happen? You don't realize it. So the thing that you may be praying for may be something that God's wanting to do in your life that's going to bless the next generation. You're like, oh, I just thought this was about me. All right, I thought, and let me tell you, Hannah just thought it was about her and having a baby. I can have a baby and shut that other sister wife up. Give me a baby, Lord. That's all I wanted. But let me tell you, God was doing something so much bigger. Her returning Samuel back to the Lord was more than returning Samuel to the Lord. You know what happened later on? If you just go to the next chapter over, Hannah had five more children. She had five more. So here's the thing. God didn't just give her a baby. God reopened her womb. Remember at the beginning of it, it said God closed her womb? And it's not like, okay, I'll give you a baby. No, I'm reopening your womb. And she had six kids as a result. I don't know. We can speculate. If she wouldn't have returned Samuel, would she have had the other five? I don't know. We don't know. And I want to, if you have a gap or a deficit in your life right now, and listen, the altar time was just powerful. God's doing something. And maybe you're going through something, and God is saying, I want you to work it out. And you're like, I can't see what you're doing. I want you to take that little bit of faith that God has given you and say, God, okay, I'm in this situation. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. I don't know how you're going to answer this situation, but I'm going to trust that you are doing something in my life. And as you go through that fire, I want to guarantee you that God is going to bring your faith bigger. Doesn't he call him a refining fire? He refines us. I don't know. I've never been liquid silver or gold or anything, but I'm thinking the refining process couldn't feel good. It gets hot. Sometimes those situations in our life get hot. But I want to tell you, the battle you're facing may be a blessing for somebody else that you don't even realize. God may be doing something in you, through you, to bless, I don't even know, so many other people. And if you're willing, like when you go through it, when God gets you to the other side, keep your hands open. Remember the test of your faith. It's not that job that you've been praying for. It's not the relationship that you're wanting. It's not the healing. It's, Lord, how can I live my life like this? How can I live my life loving you, God, and loving other people? I believe that God wants to do something great in your life. Just like the miracle Hannah got, it was bigger than her, wasn't it? I believe God wants to bless Freedom Church. I believe God wants to bless all of his people, but this is where we are right here. To reach more souls for the kingdom of God. How many of you know that's our desire? Our desire is not, bigger, better services. We want all of that. No, we want to see more souls come into the kingdom. Amen. And some of you guys, maybe you don't realize the cross that's in the foyer. 6 weeks ago, we made a bold statement. We're like, we're believing for 50 salvations this summer. We got 13 light bulbs in there right now. And how many of you know? Yes. That represents lives that have either committed or recommitted their life to the Lord. Because it's a big deal when somebody gives their life to the Lord. Sometimes we can get in church and it's like, oh yeah, there's somebody raised their hand. Oh, someone, praise the Lord, that's a good thing. Man, that means somebody's eternity is changed forever. Amen? And so we want to, can I have everybody stand? So funny, I kind of plan a service and then God plans it differently. And like, I didn't plan that earlier. I was like, Lord, I feel like you want to do something. I believe God wants to do something here too. We've got to put our trust in him. Maybe you've been going through something, and listen, maybe you're hearing my voice And you're like, I want to give you an opportunity. And you're saying, listen, if God were to come back, if Jesus were to come back today, I'm not 100% sure where I would spend eternity. And if you question that at all, how many of you know it's very simple to get your life reconnected with Him? You don't got to take a class. You don't got to do any of those religious stuff. It's a simple surrender to Him. Saying, God, I just want everything that you have. I want eternal life. So can I just have everybody bow your head? And if you're here, I'm not going to make you come up to the front. I'm not going to do any of that because this is between you and God. But if you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to either give my life to Him for the first time or I want to make a fresh commitment to Him because I know that I've been going the wrong way. If that's you, can I just have you raise your hand and then you can put it back down? Say, Lord, I want to make a fresh step. Amen. Amen. Can we all just say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I know I don't deserve it, but you say I'm worth it. And so I want to give you my life today. I want to recommit my life to you today. To serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Pastor Timothy is going to sing a song, and you probably heard on the radio, we sing it here from time to time. But it's simply trusting the Lord. And so if you are going, I mean, we had our time of prayer up here. If you need prayer, then guess what? We'll come up. And why don't we have the prayer team come back up? If you, whatever you're going through, if you didn't come up earlier, you can come up now. But I just want, whatever you're going through, just take this opportunity, not as a closing song, but as a statement of faith. Just like Hannah agreed with the prophet, make this your proclamation of, God, I trust you. And so we're just going to take a moment, and as we sing it, and then Pastor Timothy will dismiss us. So.